neighbor sitting next to you. Don't look at him. Don't. Eyes on the cross. I'm trying. I'm really trying. But there's some neighbors sitting next to you that are stressed out about getting a gift for the family members. It's not a bad thing. It's not. I'm cool with it. I talked to my mama. I said, Mama, I remember back in the day when it used to be about giving loaves of bread, cookies, and some baked goods. And that would be your Christmas present. And it was all good, fine, and dandy until all of a sudden the Sega Genesis and Atari was no longer what we wanted. We wanted to get the new things, the new and improved, the over-the-internet kind of games, the things that had HD, 4K, all kinds of high-def kind of stuff. That we got to go out and take our car title just so that we can, oh, Lord. Lord Jesus, I wish I could just mount the pulpit and do something right for a change. But in this season, we're in between to the next season. His God is so messed up that we start making decisions to please others, but not pleasing God. Said, Lord, I don't want to be that person that is so concerned about pleasing everybody, but I can't please you. We're faithful when things are going good. But when we're in between our blessings, you know how we talk about, I'm in between blessings. I'm in between blessings right now. Somewhere down the road in the future, my blessing is on the way. Got a word in here on Wednesday night about Jesus, the camels are coming. But in the in between the moment from them coming, my faith went from being faithful to being funky. When you walked into this house, this sanctuary, you came not for a Christmas message. If you did, I'm sorry to disappoint you. This is not a Christmas message. Many have programmed the church services this week for Christmas messages for those that do not know Christ. I said, Lord, if this is your season, you're the reason for this season. And that everywhere we go, people have decorated their stores and decorated everything, dropped prices down on the items that we want to purchase for your season. I said, how about God, you give me something that's for their season. And I've looked around over the course of the year and I said, Lord, there's a lot of folks going through a transition. And for some, they've been transitioning a long, long. Been in transition a long. Long. Walking and stating that they're in transition. But then my question to God was, when are they going to transition? Because if it's really up to you, God, you would have had them over already. So there's something that tells me that they're in between. They're in between has got them held up. Are you hung up on your in between? Come on now. Come on. Should I turn the AC down to 60 in here to get y'all cold so you don't fall asleep? That's all right. Touch the neighbor next to you that looks like he's falling asleep. Just tell him it's time for you to transition. Come on. Look to the other neighbor that's already snoring and tell him it's time for you to be about it. Come on. Come on. Say, Pastor's getting ready to take off here. So if you ain't ready, you're going to be left behind. Because if you ain't ready, you're going to be left behind. Yeah. All right now. Hey, maybe I should have taken the offering to come on up so. So some of you don't leave with it, holding on to it like, that don't make me mad. That's true. He don't need this seed. Well, hallelujah. I'm just going to be like David did, and I'm going to help myself. I'm going to encourage myself. I'm going to do it by Ecclesiastes 3:1 that says that there is an opportune time to do things right, the right time for everything on the earth. I'm telling you that it is a season under the sun for everything. Guess who holds the season and the timing in his hands? God does. In Ephesians 1:9 says this. 1:10 says, and this is the plan. What is the plan? His plan. At the right time, say it with me, right time, he will bring everything where? Together under the authority of Christ. Everything in heaven and on earth. Verse 11, furthermore, because we are united with Christ, we received an inheritance from God. For he chose us in advance. And he makes everything work out according to his plan. He said, Pastor, you just went too fast. I told you I'm getting ready to take off. You might get left, but I'm going somewhere. Turn with me, if you would, to Philippians 3. Turn to Philippians, the church of Philippi, chapter 3. We'll start at verse 12 through 14. I'm going to start reading in Philippians 3:12. Lord, help me, Jesus. I feel my helper now in my presence. Lord, I thank you that you are here. I thank you that you've prepared. Lord, I thank you that we're not in between anymore. We are now going somewhere. We're not going to talk about it. We're going to be about it. We're not going to stay on one side. We're going to cross over to the other side. Lord, I thank you. And as I read your word, Lord, I thank you that you prepared the hearts of your people to receive your word. Lord, I thank you that your word, Father God, is not a word of religiosity. It is a word that brings clarity. Lord, I thank you for your plan to be revealed. Philippians 3:12 through 14 out of the NIV begins to read in this wise. Not that I have already obtained all of this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Lord, thank you for your word. I thank you for the written word. But Lord, I thank you for your rhema word. I thank you for the word that is now that causes us to transition. Lord, I thank you that we may be in between a season right now. But let us not forget the past. Let us stretch for our future. But Lord, let us seize our in-between in Jesus' mighty name. And all of God's children said, amen. How many of you know that there's some things that we go through in life that kind of put a strain on us. Have you been in a situation where there's a strain? That strain causes you to be in faithfulness towards God, to moving into being funky towards God. How do we go from loving on Jesus to being funky with the word? See, we have a tendency to get caught in our in-between. But we've been in between too long. And I love what Paul writes as he's writing to the church of Philippi. He's saying to them in the first verses is that even though I have written this letter to you before, I find it necessary to repeat it again. Okay, maybe you missed the nugget there. If the apostle Paul is writing to the church of Philippi saying that I've already shared this with you. But then he says that not that I have already attained it. Not that I have accomplished it. But that I'm striving, I'm stretching to get it. Isn't that interesting? This is the apostle that established that church. Maybe I need somebody to help me with this. You establish a church, you raise somebody up, and they're going to take over the church, and you give them a letter of how they are to do certain things. And there's certain things that are going to come. And he tells them, I have yet to accomplish it myself. Oh, that's some transparency right there. Boy, I love that. Do you not love that? How being transparent to the church, the one that you established. Until I haven't obtained it, but I'm preaching it to you. I haven't fulfilled it, but I'm going to tell you about it. I don't know what it's like to have already obtained it. But I'm going to tell you like I have. I have not had success in it yet, but I'm going to keep striving to get it. Can you imagine the preacher talking about financial blessings and the correct stewardness for what God has given you? Here are the 10 points that will assure you for your blessing. And the pastor get into his broke down hoopty and get all to the way to his house. Lights turned off. Cell phone cut off. Got nothing in the pantry. But wait a minute, pastor. You just preached about how we are to get our blessings. The 10 steps. I didn't say I got it. I just said this we got to do to get it. Come on now. Some of y'all must have had some turkey left over or something or had y'all Christmas party last night. Hey. But let me tell you. Just because the people stand at the pulpit telling you what you should do, don't think for a minute that they got it together. Oh, I'm talking to a real church in here because y'all look at me like, oh, we know you ain't got it together because you. I don't see you drive out in the car. And woo! Yeah! Get up in that car, Marty. Yeah, and it's nice out. You want to put your top down? I got to wait till everybody leave the church because me and Josh got to put the top down together because it ain't working. But see, I look at Josh and say, Josh, turn the radio on. Yeah, well, most of y'all would go to that knob and turn it on. No, Josh, pull up my little speaker and put it on top and turn it on. See, but I'm talking about that I'm blessed and I am favored. And I know God's got me on his mind. It may not look like I'm blessed, but baby, all inside of me, I hold heaven in me. And I know that for a moment in between, God's going to come through for me. But I got to be faithful with the little that I got. And if I got to tell you I ain't got enough, I'm going to tell you I ain't got enough. But my daddy in heaven going to supply all my needs. I may be in between a season. But in my in between, oh, I'm going to praise God all the way through. There may be some times that I get a little funky. And I don't want to go and praise God. But God will wake me up in the midnight hour and say, son, don't lose sight of who I am. Don't lose sight of what I've done. Don't look at your past and say, oh, I can't make it no more. I've proven to you that I will do it for you. Then all of a sudden your funkiness turns into faithfulness. Hey, there's something inside of me that doesn't look at the outward circumstance. This is, though I haven't obtained it, I am stretching towards heaven. Come on now. There's something I can look in my past. Woo! I'm coming from a mighty, mighty, mighty long way. I'm not walking to church. Hey, cut out about something. I am not riding my 10-speed bike, but if I had one, I would, you know, I would. It's all right. Because when I get to where I need to get to, I'm going to be about it and not just talk about it. Because somewhere along my in-between, God's going to show up. He says, son, because you've been faithful even in your funkiness. Huh? Talking to a real church in here. I see some folks in here. Been going through. Ministry hadn't turned out to be what you thought. What people have painted to be. Oh, this is real good. You're going to be on TV. Did not know that your TV was going to be your own TV with your own little phone like this. But hey, is that your TV? That's not the TV God said. No. He ain't talking about that. And you want to talk about being international prophet, huh? Just because you're talking to someone from Mexico and prophesying them, you're an international prophet. That ain't what God talked about. No. God said, you just got to be faithful in your in-between. Woo! In between. Woo! We just right now. I don't see an image of the Jordan. Where the Jordan represented that of transition. But the prophet leads the youngster. Said, look at here. Since we go into the other side. Whoa. Woo. Because we get into the other side. In the middle of the transition, he asked his protege, what would you ask of me? Watch this. Don't miss it. Because in between your transition, a question is asked. What do you want? But if you're so funky in your in-between that you can't hear God, you'll miss the appointed time. Hoo-wee! What would you have from me? I want the double portion. See, the Jordan represented the transitional phase for the Israelites. Don't miss this. But for the prophetic move of God. Led first of all by the apostleship. We have many teachers. Very few fathers. We need to have fathers that look to someone that's in between. And say, it's all right. You have got to just stretch for your future. You have got to stretch past your now and reach unto your future. You can't be holding on to what lies behind you. Because in the midst of you stretching in between, you may be stretching too short.
I'm trying to get somewhere. Woo! I done seen my past, and it hasn't been pretty. I have seen what I've labored and toiled through. But Lord, my in between is not my harvest. Let me focus on my now. Oh, this is probably going to hurt some of you here. The Apostle Paul talks about how forgetting those things of which behind. And stretching to those that are ahead. Well, hold up now. There's no emphasis on the now. Right? There's no emphasis? Everything's from past to future. And we think, oh, he missed it. No, he said it at the very beginning of his statement. Not that I have.
Not that I have, sir.
Not that I have already obtained it. But I'm working towards it. Oh, I'm working towards it, all right. And some people are going to come against me, but I'm working towards it. Somebody's going to talk about me, but I'm working towards it. I may not do things like the church says I need to do it, but I'm pressing towards it. Well, this is not the way my church does it. But God says, do it this way because I have a plan for you. Because I'm going to send you some folks that need to have rhema word on a regular. But. Folks want to come in and they want to put words in the atmosphere. Oh, crowd is thinning now. Oh, all those videos about revival, it ended. I'm revived, baby. I'm renewed. And I'm going somewhere. But if you're looking for the goosebump, and if you're looking to fall out, let me tell you, that's not revival. That's an emotion that kept you in your past. Revival means I'm going to revive your in-between. Your in-between seasons. When you think that funkiness you can't come out of. Revival comes in to revive purpose, revive focus. Now, in the midst of my in-between, I look back. And what I've been trying to get rid of has not been rid. It's time to deal with the now. I started going over my notes. I said, Lord, you're doing deliverance every week. You're cleaning up a house. Some are falling away to their own emotions, to their own biasness, to what they feel church should be. Ooh. How long are they going to have a praise team halfway through? When I only get they only have the guitarist and the singer that comes on when pastor says, no, baby, hold up here a second. You ain't about to put me in a place that I have to be like everybody else. Because it ain't about learning a few songs. It's about singing his song at that moment. About giving pure worship in the atmosphere. So that we can engage the church in pure worship. We ain't going to reach for someone that has talent. We're going to hold on for the oil to come forth. I said, Lord, you showed me I was going to have a mass choir. You showed me that I was going to have horns and I was going to have strings. You showed me that I would have people that would know how to be on their face and not talk about what they want. They're going to do as you say. And I said, Lord, I'm going to hold on to it. No matter what people say. It don't matter what they think. I said, Lord, it's good. Yeah, I get a little funky, God. I know I get mad at you. Like I surprise you, right? You think you guys surprise God?
With your attitude, he knows. With your faith, he knows. Oh, this right here. You might want to do what the three stooges is. Go like this. I'm about to poke you in the eye. Go like, put it up. Because it's about to come right between your eyes right now. I just want to protect your eyesight. Hold on now. I'm going to protect your eyes. Come on. Put them up. You and your in-between. Because you don't want to engage in worship. Saved your eyesight. Cause it was coming. You say, man, Pastor, thank you. You thought of us. Yeah. Thinking about Jesus on Sundays. Only. Where folks would die to be in the presence of God. But we spoil. Because if I don't get what my list is, then you don't love me. What do you mean I only got one gift? What about the tradition that I got to open one up Christmas Eve and wear it? Oh, we all have traditions. We all got them. Some of y'all, all right, hold up. Ooh, I was. Lord, forgive me. My flesh was about to rise. Ooh, my flesh was getting up there, Lord. My flesh was about to speak, Lord. Yeah, I was going to speak on the flesh issues, Lord, but Lord. Mm-hmm. But I have, Father, been in your presence, so I will abstain. But the Apostle Paul said that he hasn't obtained it. But what I find very interesting is that there's also seasons that we can hunt for quail, turkey, venison. You know, that's deer. There's certain seasons that we can do that. But I find it very interesting that most of the hunters go out and they go get camouflage to blend into the surroundings. Look to your neighbor. Look at your neighbor. Look at your neighbor. You got camouflage on. Look to your other neighbor and say, can you see me? So I'm really here, right? Well, here's what I find is very interesting. If the Apostle Paul can be very transparent and very vulnerable to the church that he's established, to those that he's raised up as sons and daughters, and he's the Father, and he's vulnerable to them, how come we can't be vulnerable with God? Are you hearing me? How come we can't be vulnerable? We want to hide behind the camouflage, a facade, to make it look nice, real pretty. Mira que nice, que beautiful. Look at this beautiful building. It's just gorgeous. Well, when we went on to the set at, not Universal Studios, it's the one in Disney World where you can go through and it has, is it Epcot where they have all these beautiful facades, but then you get behind it, it's nothing but foam. And then I looked at a lot of these things. I said, oh, remember when they did that one, Honey, I Shrunk the Kids, the movie? And so I was like, how'd they make those people look so little? And then you go onto the set, and they have this huge, massive chair made out of cardboard and foam, painted to look just like a real chair. That when you look at it, you say, wow, that's a big chair. But the reality is not a chair. See, we paint a picture about ourselves to everybody else. That this is how we are. I've got this. Went to cemetery school. Seminary. I carry my little card to preach. You know they give you a card now, right? Laminated. Laminated. So you can put it in your pocket. So you can pull it out and show me. I got a license to preach. I want you to get out the magnifying glass because it's been shrunk enough so that I can put it in my pocket. Get the magnifying glass so you can look at it and see. It says I have the right to preach. But you see, we want to have everybody look at us like we got things together. Ain't that right? Yeah, like the neighbor sitting next to you. Don't look at them now. Because they sit here doing praise and worship like this. Hey, hallelujah. Oh, hey. Oh, I feel the anointing. Oh. But then when you walk out the same snake you were when you walked in. Okay, go like this again. Go like this. Because it's going to come out. 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 It is. Watch. See, a snake is nothing but just deception. How many of you had dreams of snakes? You've had dreams of snakes? It's about deception around you. Anytime you have a dream about snakes, it's deception that is around you. Oh, Lord. Oh, they don't want to hear this one, Joey. They don't. Ooh. Have you had a dream where the snake is around someone that resembles the one that you're with? Don't look to your spouse. Don't look. Don't look at your spouse right now. Don't. But there's some deception there. But here's what I found this very interesting. God doesn't reveal the actual deception. He just tells you that there is. It's up to you to go and seek it out. Right? So I begin to ask God, Lord, show your people what facade we're putting on. What camouflage are we wearing? That when we walk into a church service where the Bible says this, this is what the Bible says, which is the word of God inspired by the Holy Spirit that men put down on paper for us to read to have an understanding of the heart of God. Correct? That's what the Bible is. Okay. I'm glad you're agreeing with me because it's truth. Okay. If you don't like it, well, it's truth. Now, here's what I find very interesting that he says that all power and authority has been given unto you. To you. But oh, heaven forbid if something happens, you know, I need to go to the church so someone can pray for me. Si. Como no. We need to have the church pray. Matter of fact, I don't want no one to pray, but I want Pastor Marty only to pray for me because he's a prophet. Y'all are funny. Y'all are funny. Some of y'all are laughing like, oh, I've seen them jokers. Not y'all, because not in this church, because y'all are not joking. Okay. But I'm just going to have to. The Holy Ghost wants to move in a direction, and someone's sitting third row. Third row back in the middle section, pulling on the prophetic. I need my word. I need my word. I need my word. I need my word. And sometimes I feel like, shut up and hear the word. Oh, this is too raw? Is this all right? We're okay? We're in a safe house? Oh, it's 'tis the season. We're supposed to be jolly. Oh, we're not supposed to challenge you. Did I go over my hour already? We're done? Okay. Pastor, why are you being this way? Because I've seen this, not House of Manna, because House of Manna is on fire for God. But I've seen the church as a whole go through the motions with the camouflage on. That relationships in the actual body of Christ is built around being blended in so that we don't stand out. And then many folks say, oh, be careful with the wolf in sheep's clothing. Hold up now. Who transformed? The wolf did. To look just like the sheep. The sheep didn't change to look like a wolf. So the wolf comes in to blend in. Camouflaged. And I said, Lord, what's happening to the body of Christ? They don't want to be transparent with their issue. Oh, they don't need no deliverance because they've obtained it all. Because they have knowledge of the scripture. I said, Lord, why are you talking to me? I just got delivered last week. What happened? He said, I need you to understand that the Bible is there for you to give you instructions on how to live. But why is it that we're not getting into the word? And I said, Lord, it seems to me that because we've been in between too long, we've become numb. So when I read this about the Apostle Paul, see, we all know that scripture. Oh, we press towards the mark of the prize of the high calling. Oh, that we forget those things that are behind, but we stretch to the future. But we never deal with our now. When are we going to deal with the now? Has someone challenged you in your now? I said, God, I want to make sure that I don't carry all of this stuff into my future. Amen. We can say, oh, 2016 is going to be the year of such and 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 such. And such. And then at the end, we're going to put, et cetera. Because we don't know what next year is going to hold. But we want to believe everything's going to be good. But if we don't deal with our now and in between, we'll never obtain it. We need to say, God, whatever is in here that I have not obtained victory on, let's deal with it now. Come on, let's deal with it. For those of you who say, no, I don't want to be slithering around like a snake or bending over backwards like that. I don't want to be vomiting pea soup and stuff because of deliverance. Maybe that's because you ain't let it go. That's because you ain't let that demon go. Sometimes you just got to learn how to do something different. A learned behavior. I said, God, if I got to get delivered, I don't like peas. But some of y'all are like, what's that reference with peas? Okay, you remember Exorcist? Okay, just movie. Okay. Some of you are like, ooh, that's demonic. You shouldn't be watching it. It's so demonic. So are you. No. I was just thinking. It was an example. I'm just playing. I'm jolly. All right, listen. Okay. Okay, this is what happens. We're in between. Okay. Now, those of you that are married right now, I want... I want to be careful with it. I don't want you to leave here thinking, okay, but Pastor gave me the green light. You're history. Yeah. No. It's till death do you part. That don't mean you walk out there, hey, walk out and go get, and then you run them over. No. I'm not saying that. Those of you that are married, hallelujah, praise you, Jesus. So eternity. That's the T. Okay. Now, you know that you've been challenged in the relationship. Have you not? Amen. Oh, some of you are like, oh, you know, Pastor, let me tell you. You got a minute, Pastor? Right, but wait a minute. Every relationship that is for eternity is challenged. How many of you agree?
You're like, wait a minute, but I'm not married.
Renee's like, both of them like, yeah, we're just doing eternity. I told you pastor was going to give us confirmation. But listen, Linda, listen. Here's the thing. We are in a relationship with Christ that is tested. And when it gets tested, all of that love that you have for God, does it leave? No. It just got tested because something inside of you hadn't been resolved. Oh, before y'all, theologians in here. Oh, there's something in God that's not right. Because, God makes mistakes, right? Oh, he doesn't? Then why do we get mad when our season takes us into turmoil? And we blame him. Or our season goes on so long and it's your fault. If you had just come through when you were supposed to, I wouldn't have lost my vehicle. Too close to home? Is that too close to home? Okay. Maybe this. No, that's not good. Okay. Let's back up because people. Pastor, you had me for a minute there, but then now you got too close. Back up. But how about this one? But God, I love you so much. But when I prayed the other day concerning my issue at work, you didn't intervene. I don't know if I should believe in this prayer thing. So over the course of time, your prayer begins to change based on your soulish realm and not the spiritual realm. And when you become numb to him, watch this. When you're numb, you're not going to hear correctly from him. Nor are you going to receive correctly from him. I find it interesting that the Apostle Paul says, I haven't attained this. I have not achieved this, but I have to tell you again. I'm going to forget the things that are behind. So my mind quickly went to, as an apostle writing to the church that he established, look here. We've had this conversation, and we're going to have it again. Well, I don't forget some of the things you did to me in the past. So I'm going to write this letter again. I love you. But you hurt me. You wounded me. But in my wounds, allow me, before I even deal with my wounds, to stitch up your wound. Isn't that good? I'm not completely healed. But in my healing process, let me just help you stitch yours. Because I love you that much. Even though you wounded me. Ooh. Isn't that good? Isn't that good? It's Apostle Paul saying, I haven't got it all together, but this is what I'm going to do. I know you guys are in a mess right now, but I want to help you in this. I've got issues of my own that I haven't figured out yet, but I'm going to let God work on me, but I'm going to help with you on yours. Right? Okay. You're like, y'all like, oh, that's good, Pastor. Yeah, that's good. But then when someone comes in and tells you truth, quit being a judge. Why you got to judge me? I'm not judging you. But if it's wrong, I just say, if it quacks and walks like a duck, quack, quack, it's a duck. So if you're going through some stuff right now because of some of your actions and I have to tell you about them so that you can get right so that you don't continue doing it, I'm not complete. I'm not right myself. But let me help you with yours. You might want to make some changes. so it doesn't continue to affect you in your in-between. It's done in love. So the Apostle Paul is telling them, man, I'm a mess too. If you read the foregoing statements that he writes, he says, oh, I knew it just like everybody else. I'm the one that persecuted the church myself. I was just that of the knowledge of the gospel, and I persecuted those very elite. He says, oh, no, now that I've lost everything, oh, I count it all unto him that he's taken it. Because all I want is to have further knowledge of him. I said, oh, God, that's so good. I want to be like Paul. And then for a minute, I said, oh, no, I don't. Oh, no, because he got persecuted a lot. Y'all know about Paul, right? Oh, he got persecuted a lot. Getting on the ship and it shipwrecks and getting bit by a snake. See, that's why I can't be around snakes. I don't like them. But as Josh comes to play, if I get a minute, just a couple more minutes. Is that all right? A couple more minutes. In Luke 8, 43 through 48. You don't have to turn there. Luke 8, 43 through 48. Here's what I want to share with you. In your in-between, here's what I want to share. Jesus, y'all know Jesus, right? Y'all know who he is? Just making sure. And y'all know who Jairus is? Jairus had a daughter that was sick. Okay? Sick. So he comes and he comes to Jesus and asks Jesus, can you come to my house? Because my daughter is sick. So Jesus is now moving towards future. Moving and stretching towards Jairus' daughter. Watch this. Oh, this is good. That there's a woman. What's her name? The woman. Y'all know the. What's the woman's name that's in the Bible in the verse here? What's her name? It don't say. It doesn't say her name. So I find it very interesting that this particular woman never, ever, ever was named. But it's preached about all the time. Now, in our in-between moments, Jesus now is going to Jairus' house, stretching towards the future of Jairus' daughter. But someone that has gone through everything in her past has spent 12 years of spending her money, spending everything that she had with this issue of blood, but has never named. Can you imagine this woman? That this individual that had been bleeding for so long has spent all that she had was in between. And her in between, things didn't look right. They didn't feel right. It wasn't the moment that she felt the goosebumps and felt, oh, this is the Holy Spirit. Now I can get healed. No, she didn't even have time to get up and to wash herself. She didn't have a change of clothing to be presenting herself like she's affluent. This woman had been through so much. She was leaving her past and her now behind. And now she began to stretch in her in-between to her future. What is the picture we're looking at? Is that Jesus is focused on where he is going in the future, leaving the very past of what he's already done, going into his next season to someone else. But in his past, in his steps that he has already walked, there is someone saying, I can't stay in this circumstance anymore. I've done all that I know to do. I have given my all. I'm stinking. I've got stench of old blood all over me. have been washed. I am not even supposed to be around this individual. I could lose my life. But my now is telling me I'm in between from where I once was affluent and I had money. I had notoriety. They knew my name back then. I was a somebody then. But in between, I've lost all identity. I've lost everything that I have. But I'm stretching for my future in Christ. If I could just touch Him, something in my in-between will change. I don't even want His attention. I just want to touch the hem of my future. I just want to touch the hem of my future. Everything that had my identity wrapped up in it has been lost. Oh, y'all want to hear this? Oh, you remember when everything that you had meant something? Everything that you had people say, wow, how God's been good to you. But you've gone through a season of hardships. You haven't obtained it all of your deliverance, but you've gone through something that no longer are you known for who you are. You're known for what's inside of you that's been spilling out of you. They don't even want to call you by your name. They've outcasted you away from the future of your healing. But I've been in this too long, God. I don't understand. When I had something, when I had my life together, how come now I have nothing? But back then, I was somebody. But when we're in between our seasons of blessings and transformation and transition, it's like we lose identity. I can't make it, God. Will we stretch? Will we stretch? But what are we stretching to? See, we got to get to that point where we're stretching towards Jesus. And say, whatever it is, God, whatever's opposing me, whatever's trying to stop me, I'm going to stretch. In my in-between, I'm stretching to my future. I'm stretching to my future. But in the midst of stretching to my future, I'm going to deal with my in-between. I can't stay like this no more. I will not accept this illness anymore. That the very life of me has come out of me. That it's lost my identity in you, God. That I don't even know if I'm a child of God anymore. I feel like everything is being stripped away from me. I feel like I've lost people in my life. I've lost my loved ones. I've lost my fire. But God, I'm going to stretch towards my future. I could just touch even the very hem of His garment. I'll be made whole. My question to you is, are you stretching? Are you stretching towards Jesus? Are you stretching? Or are you comfortable in your mess? Are you comfortable where you're at? Because if you're comfortable where you're at, you become numb. Numb. That everything that comes against you, like, it don't bother me. I've got it so much. It don't matter how many times I get hit. But the thing is, you're not progressing forward. You're staying stuck in the middle because this is what I want. You appease your own flesh and your own desires as opposed to what God has for you in your future. Not that you've already obtained it,
Not that you've already acquired it, but you desire it. As long as you're in between and you desire to touch, then stretch. At the moment that she touched his hand, his garment, this is what it said. That it turned Jesus from where he was going to face her in between. To turn around and say, who touched me? Are you touching Jesus? Are you touching him? Or is your religion, your religious mindset, keeping you from touching him? See, religion told her that she couldn't get near him. Oh, you're a mess. Oh, wait a minute. You smell. You don't even look like you're somebody. You're soiled in your circumstance. And people know you for your circumstance. Because you're more apt to let the circumstance define you. What are you saying, God? I'm going to stretch to my future. My future. Let me touch God. Let me touch God. So that when I went from my faithfulness into my funk, oh, I'll go right back into my faithfulness once I just touch him. Once I touch him, I'll be made whole. Whole. That he'll turn around and say, your faith has made you whole. Your faith. Because you had enough faith to stretch. Because you were in between seasons. You may not have your abundance. You may not have what you have desired. You may not have everything that you think that is rightfully yours. But we've got to stretch, people of God. We have got to stretch towards Jesus. We've got to press through and stretch. But we can't let the people put their words on us and tell us you're nobody. You don't even have the right. But if you're going through something, that is the very right and license for you to stretch. I need you, God, more than ever. I need you more than what I know that I need. My mind can't even fathom how much I need you. But something inside of me is causing me to stretch. God, I need you in my now. You've been in my past, but I need you in my now. And in my now, I've got to see that I am somebody in you. I'm not what everybody else says that I am. I've got to see if I just touch him. If I just touch him, oh, my life will change. My life will change. Where everybody said, oh, no, you're unclean. You cannot touch. But when Jesus felt the touch, he turned to her. And he reached down to her. Says, your faith made you whole. Watch this. He says, arise, daughter. Your faith has made you whole. You have to understand that God wants us to be in that place of relationship. Let's touch Jesus in our in-between. Let him deal with the issue in your now. Don't reach for the next season in your life never dealing with your now. Deal with your now so that as you're reaching for your next season, the way you get there is by touching Jesus. Touch Jesus. You've got to be committed with all your heart, mind, spirit, and soul to want him before anything else. Let's not forget, in all this hustle and bustle of Christmas, he is that very reason that we celebrate that unto us a child is born. And we will call him Emmanuel. For God is with us. And we lose sight of it. So when I began to read that passage about the woman with the issue of blood, it drew me right back into the manger. She wasn't in a sterile place when she gave birth to Jesus. She wasn't in a place that would look like this is where the baby, the Messiah, the Son of God, shall be born. But was born in a place full of dung. Are you hearing this? That Christ came in to this world full of dung. Born into your mess to bring you out of your mess. To bring you out of the thing that has caused so much people to look at you and turn their nose away from you. And say, oh no, I came for you. I came for the one that no one wanted to reach out to. No one wanted to love, no one wanted to touch. I came for you. Because you had vision and purpose all along. But the seasons that you have been through have been too much. You've wandered ambiguously, trying to figure out, am I on the right path? Maybe he had you in his mind before you were ever formed. You were never left. You were brought. You were never alone. He was with you.